wanna go down to the deep end and get back what's gone round and you've been keeping down the aisles between the rows. Ooh, yeah, I wanna go.
Podcast, your boys, Matt.
Brian.
We didn't miss a step.
No. And if the last episode seems a bit dated, that's on you.
You're dated.
Yeah, you're not on us.
Yeah.
We're living at the cutting edge of society here.
Right. We are in cruise control. Absolutely. And that means we're going to get there when we get there.
We'll do what we want, when we want,
at the
and
speed
how we want.
That we have predetermined.
That's right.
Right? And,
just 1,000 miles an hour all the time.
Yeah, that's the Tom Cruise speed, yeah.
Constantly at the speed of light.
And so we were talking about that, because you say constantly, right? Over, which means over all periods of time.
Decades.
And millennia. Tom Cruise, his career spans decades,
mm-hmm.
right? And so we were deciding which Tom Cruise movie to watch, and you mentioned, like, oh, we could do an 80s Tom Cruise and 90s Tom Cruise, and I think that might be an interesting way to go about it,
yeah.
You know? Going about the Tom Cruise movies as maybe split them by decades.
We did a 2000. We did Collateral,
which was about
2004.
Yeah,
it was a strong flip phones and fucking Palm Pilots.
You felt it.
You felt
the 2004.
We did that, and that's like Tom Cruise kind of in like he had this weird period of like kind of refinding himself.
Yeah,
but this is and so I wanted to like you could go to kind of a Cruise stage in each decade and be like. Oh, this is like, he's starting to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
He figured it out. He's locked it in.
Right.
He's like white knuckling through like the danger zone through this thing. And then you could kind of like gauge what this man can do.
Yeah. I think he kind of has he's always has a type and the type has shifted slightly. Like in the 80s, he's the young upstart kid.
Right.
You know, in the 90s, he's... Oh, he's a dreamy guy. Turns out he can act. He can kind of act.
Yep.
Right? 2000s, it's like... then late 90s and 2000s, action hero.
Yep.
Which is why Collateral's a bit off type for Cruise, which was it was a weird movie to pick for like the first Cruise Control movie, but it's so good.
It's also because I wanted to see it.
And, yeah, he was so good at it, and Jamie Foxx was so good, we couldn't help ourselves.
Yeah.
But the Collateral's the exception.
And then, and also like now currently he's back as this young upstart young kid. Playing double football or whatever on the beach.
Man. Well, technically, did he play?
Yeah.
He did get in there at the end.
He did.
He
was playing cover corner. He was one of the hardest positions on the field.
Cover corner running back.
Corner running back / wide receiver.
And this movie, The Color of Money, that we're doing today, is classic 80s.
This is 1986.
Yeah.
I think he hadn't done Top Gun yet.
So he had shot Top Gun, but it hasn't been released yet.
Yeah. So like it was
on the horizon, on the runway.
It was
on the AC carrier. It was on the Intrepid.
Right.
You know.
You're just waiting there.
Yeah.
But yeah, like he did this Tony Scott is a great filmmaker, but he's like you wouldn't be like, oh, if I'm gonna act my balls off, I'm gonna do it
on a Tony Scott movie.
Yeah. Like Tony Scott does great action movies.
Yeah.
But he worked this like he's working with Martin Scorsese now, mm-hmm. and that's like, I think he worked with Francis Ford Coppola on The Outsiders, mm-hmm. but I haven't seen The Outsiders, so I don't know how big his role is.
Yeah.
But this is like, he's not only working with Martin Scorsese, he's working with Paul fucking Newman. By the way,
generational talent.
I've only seen that like I've seen Road to Perdition,
mm-hmm.
Cars.
Cars?
Just like, Cars, yeah. And there's another... No, actually, I think... Yeah, no, that's it. And now this movie.
Well,
my Paul Newman, like...
Your Paul Newman knowledge?
Knowledge is embarrassingly low.
Okay. Well, I mean, he's... Dad's a big Western guy.
Okay.
You know? So, like... I haven't, like, sat down and been like, oh, let's check out this Paul Newman movie. But, like, over time, I've absorbed Butch Cassidy.
Right.
You know, I've absorbed, What's the other really popular Western that he's in?
I don't know. I just told you on my...
Cool Hand Luke.
Cool Hand Luke. Yeah. That's not a Western.
It's not a Western, but it's an old Paul Newman movie. Right. You know, that my dad likes. My dad likes Paul Newman.
This is also a legacy sequel to
Yeah, I haven't the seen Hustler. The Hustler. Haven't seen that. But yeah, I'm sure I've seen... I'm looking through now to see like... The Left-Handed Gun, I think. No, HUD.
HUD.
I've seen HUD. Again, absorbed HUD. Right. Never sat down to watch HUD, but like... I've seen
Paul Newman. That's a new category of watching movies, absorbed
it. Absorbed it. Yeah, like, you like passively watched it.
Over time, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, Paul Newman's a guy.
Yeah.
Paul Newman's a man.
Absolute stud.
Yeah.
Even in this movie, you know, you think like, because he portrays this guy as like kind of like lost it a little, mm-hmm. like lost a step, but mm-hmm. hasn't like fully fell off. Mm-hmm. He didn't fall off.
Nah.
Just needed glasses.
That's it.
This is a big...
That's the whole thing.
This is big glasses coming at you. The big glass lobby.
Yeah.
Big optics.
Yeah, they fixed fast Ed. Big optics. Yeah, no, Paul Newman has gone from being a pretty boy in movies
right.
to being a juggernaut actor, director, to being a fucking race car driver, to being... Yeah, that's why he's in Cars.
That's why he's in Cars.
The man likes cars.
I think there's some parallels here.
Yep.
Ooh, maybe is that on purpose? Who knows?
Who knows? To, yeah, and he, you know, he is similar to Tom Cruise, where when he started off, people were uncertain of his chops as an actor, wondering, oh, is this guy just a pretty face? And then over time, he took roles that allowed him to prove himself. Like The Hustler.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of challenge. He got... challenge that stereotype and allow him to break in as somebody who, you know, could carry a movie.
Yeah.
And so to see him now in the movie is kind of about a passing of the torch a little bit.
I think so. Yeah.
To some degree, the movie's out of a lot of different things, the Color Money, but to do that with Tom Cruise, who then ends up becoming a generational talent.
Exactly. Yeah. Like a staple of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who, you know, has been in all sorts of movies and, over many generations, and honestly, is still one of the biggest stars in the world.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Like, and
instead of being into cars, he's absolutely insane.
He's into everything.
Yeah.
Like his autism is into everything.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. He's a savant.
He's a savant.
Like, anything that could kill you.
Yeah. And like there's a line in the movie where it's like, Vince just wants to be the best and be the best at everything. It's like. Yeah, that's Tom Cruise in a fucking second there. Like, if you're and then like how intense he was throughout the whole movie, you're like, oh, if that's how he like, if he's acting like this and it's coming off as like real,
yeah.
Just imagine the real guy,
right?
Yeah, it's like, whoa,
this is Tom Cruise turned down to 11,
right?
Yeah,
this is him. Yeah, taking it easy.
You see him jumping on the bed in the hotel, and you're thinking like, real people don't do that.
Nope.
And then your mind thinks to him jumping on Oprah's couch.
Yep.
And you're just like, fuck, Tom Cruise really does that.
He's the biggest villain in the upholstery game.
Yep.
He's just jumping on everything. But then also it's like he's doing like samurai moves with fucking pool cues. I'm like, you did that as like a child.
Mm-hmm.
But like this guy has so much like energy, I guess, stored up in him. And like
he gives big man child.
Yeah.
You know, Vincent in this whole movie. And I think...
Like, it's like 22, 21?
Maybe.
Something like that,
I don't know if they even go into his age. They just call him kid.
Yeah.
But, like, he's definitely immature.
Yeah.
You know, and they show that in so many different ways with the fucking antics and the whoa and the karate, like, pool stick thing that, you know, like, we've all seen Rush Hour. Yeah, and the...
Tom Cruise at that time hasn't seen Rush Hour.
Had not seen Rush Hour. Jackie Chan watched Tom Cruise.
Changed his life.
In Color Money. And the Chinese opera. And
that's what I'm going to do.
Yep. But, yeah, and then, like, the insecurity with his girlfriend and all of it, you know?
Yeah.
His hot-headedness, his refusal to lose, all of that.
Yep. He doesn't, like, he has a tough time blurring the lines between, like, what's reality and what's, like, the con.
Because
even, like, Eddie... okay, let's get into the movie.
Yeah.
Because we're good... I mean, this is a... Obviously, you guys know we're big Marty fans.
Yeah.
We had a whole month.
We had a whole month.
Every time we mention him, we always think him in the highest regards. But we kind of have a blind spot in between. I think it's like that Raging Bull to Goodfellas era.
Mm-hmm.
Like that 80s, like... Kind of, he's on the coke. Like, I've seen After Hours.
Kind of, he's on the coke.
Kind of, he's on the coke. But, like, After Hours, and I think this is also another one that he did. And I think there's another movie in the between.
Temptation. This got the Temptation of Christ.
The Last Temptation
right?
of Christ, yeah.
But that was after this, yes. Right? Yeah. There was one before this. That didn't, the last comedian, the King of Comedy?
King of Comedy with De Niro, yes.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a different, like, frenetic. And it's you could even see it in the editing. You could see it in how the shot selections and everything that they've done. Mm-hmm. So like that whole team, because I looked it up, it's Thelma, and it's a cinematographer who was with him until I think he passed, which was, let me get the name for you, because
deserves it.
Yep. Cinematography by Michael Bauhaus. Bauhaus. Ballas.
Mikey.
Big Mike. So, yeah, like, it's definitely, like, a team that knows how to work with each other. Mm-hmm. So, there wasn't, like, any missteps. So, like, any, like, even the editing to, like, the shot, the up-close shots of the pool shot of the cue ball and the other balls going in didn't seem too hokey, because that would be something that this could happen in. Like,
right.
They would not, like, this shot would come, like, if it was in, like, all right, so, like, a movie, like, there's a movie Kingpin about bowling. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a comedy. But, like, if that pulled the shot where, like, it's just tracking a ball, where you're a POV of a cue ball, it would be like, oh, this is for a joke. But for this, it's like, what we're seeing, they're actually very good
at Yeah, all the Tom Cruise's, like, trick shots and stuff, right?
Which apparently he did every one except one.
Which was one he didn't do.
The last one where he had to hop the ball.
Where he jumped it?
That
is a tough one.
They said, like, Scorsese said, yeah, it would take him 2 days of training to get it down right, but we didn't want to waste that time.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was trying to stay on schedule, trying to stay on budget.
Right.
You know, because after all those movies that had kind of flopped before this, he was in kind of a shit list in Hollywood where he had to kind of prove that he could do that.
And this is a legacy sequel for a studio, so.
Yeah. Yeah, although, you know, Newman.
I came to him for it.
Yeah, and kind of gave him the reins.
He knew.
He knew.
Newman knew.
Newman knew.
He's Newman's choice.
Yeah. So, anyway, but yes, let's get into the movie, right? Because it's about Fast Ed Felsen, right? Who was the star in The Hustler, ends the movie giving up pool, starts this movie, he's giving up pool. He works, does selling liquor. But he notices this kid, Vincent, who's got incredible pool talent, just uncultivated and raw talent.
Yep.
And he thinks, oh, man, this kid can make a killing in the hustling circuit, because he just has this kind of, he calls him a flake. He has this goober energy.
Yeah.
It's like goofball energy. This
punchable energy.
Yeah. That's going to, like, make people want to beat him.
Yes.
And he's like, if we can weaponize that, him, Vincent, his girlfriend Carmen,
played by Mary Elizabeth Master Antonio.
Yes,
fantastic job.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And he talks to the girlfriend, who seems to be kind of like managing him.
Yeah.
You know, because she's also kind of using him a little bit.
Fast Eddie kind of sees that Carmen is a bit of a con woman herself, and kind of like,
but also uncultivated.
Right.
You know, also like there's some things that. Like, she's got the mind for the business, you know, she's got the mind of a user, but
she's also very young, so she'll do a lot of immature things that maybe she shouldn't do.
Right.
But, and then old Paul Newman shows her that you shouldn't do them.
Yeah, and over the course of the movie, he is like, hey, I'll get you to this pool tournament,
right?
You know, and along the way, I'll teach you how to hustle, and we'll make money that way.
Right.
And from the looks of it, that is a pretty stand-up situation. But as far as taking advantage of this kid's personality and his naivety and the girlfriend, everyone's kind of using this kid Vincent as we go along. And they have to deal with him because he's a very big personality. And the same things that are going to make him a good hustler make him a terrible student.
Right.
And then through that, Eddie learns a lot about himself. Cultivating all like kind of coalescing into the finale,
right?
In which the journey that all of their characters had been on come together and clash.
Because a lot of it is, it's that what everyone does now. It's the whole like John Wick, like, yeah, I'm back. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking I'm back. Like, yeah. It's basically kind of what happens like in this movie where Eddie is kind of like, he's having a tough time reaching Vincent. And then it's like, he comes to a point, it's like, I gotta come back. The only way to show him is to beat him.
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool because they Marty hints at it so many times in the movie, but subtly enough that me, being an idiot, didn't realize that, like, oh man, it's been building towards this the whole time,
right.
Towards him coming back.
That goddamn storyteller.
Yeah, you know, they walk in, they see his favorite pool hall is all closed up.
Right.
And I was like, ah, that sucks. You know, then he walks in and you know, Cruz beats him in that place, the pool hall that had a criminal element, supposedly. It was supposed to be creepy, but it looked the same as all the other pool
halls. Which one? The second one they went to?
Yeah.
Oh, Chalkies?
Chalkies, yeah. He's like, I don't want you here, Connor. There's a lot of creeps.
Oh, that's...
And then you look, and it's the same. It looks the same as every other pool hall that they play in.
That, what was the line where he says, like, oh, that used to be a real bad neighborhood? Like,
yeah.
It was a really nice bad neighborhood over
here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a nice little bad neighborhood.
Yeah. No, I don't think... I mean, they kind of framed it as like, oh, it's a rough part of town because there's a lot of like black guys.
I think that's all it was.
Yeah.
Just a lot of black guys.
But like the most egregious and I think most offensive part of that whole thing is that they played Warren Zevon's Werewolf of London.
Yeah.
And there's no fucking way that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah. out loud.
Out loud.
In that with those
people. Somebody they were like, keep that to your headphones. Yeah, like, yeah. There ain't no way. Like it's a fun song, but
we ain't playing it here.
It's a very specific, only at a white barbecue party.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that just goes to show how egregious Vince was in that spot. But he loses to Vince there when they're kind of warming up the table.
Yep.
And that hits him a lot harder than the audience or Vince would think. Because up until then, he's just like, no, I'm done with that. The wheels fell off.
Yeah.
Right? But losing to him actually hurts. Mm. Right? In a way that's... He reacts immaturely, almost like Vince. Right?
Yeah.
And then from there, he loses to Forrest Whitaker. Of all people.
Ugh.
Of all people. And not only that, recognizes that this guy's a con
man.
It
took him too long to realize he was a hustler.
Yeah. Although, I feel like he knew, I feel like he kind of figured out, he's asking him, are you a hustler, are you a hustler? And then he still doubles down.
Right.
Because, you know, again, the ego.
Because his ego is like, I could beat this guy, though.
Yeah.
And like once he said, like, yeah, I'm a medical experiment because of reflux, I'm like, oh, he's a hustler.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a straight-up hustler.
Yep.
And then also it's like, oh, it's Forrest Whitaker. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, great job. And having the droopy face kind of adds to the medical experiment kind of situation. But I think it was a situation where it's just like, he's asking, are you a hustler? But the fact that he beat you means that he's a hustler.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like it takes someone extra to beat you at your...
Right.
Even at, not at his best. Because he then goes on his little Rocky montage of like just hitting one ball at a time.
Yeah.
Getting his eyes checked.
Like swimming.
Swimming and just like... Yeah. It's like, all right, man. Like, it was just him getting his life back.
Yeah.
And then him making up with his girlfriend at the time, at the end, to kind of be like, okay, if I'm going to go back, I'm going to do it the right way. I'm not going to do something seedy, something underhanded. It's like, I'm going to do it for me and do it to get past
this
old behavior.
It's like Vince and Ed kind of crossed each other on the same path, going in opposite directions.
Right.
Where Vince, at first, he was offering to fucking
Julian.
Yeah, Julian.
With John motherfucking Turturro.
Yep.
In his cocaine glory.
Yep.
Best Martin Scorsese film.
He's doing his best in a Martin Scorsese film, right? He goes to Julian and he's beating his ass in the beginning.
Right.
And he's like, I'll play for free. I just love the game.
Right.
I just want to play the game. I want to be the best.
Exactly.
Right. And then from there, Ed kind of corrupts him into the point where it's just like, he no longer cares about being the best. He cares about hustling. He cares about making money. Mm-hmm. Right. His high comes from the hustle, from tricking people.
Yeah.
Whereas Ed starts off with, you know, like, oh man, like, yeah, you beat that guy, but you threw away $5,000. Like
you killed the town.
You killed the town, you know, and you it's all about the money. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I don't care if you're the best. We're here for money.
Right.
And then over the course of the movie, starts to reignite his love for the game to the point where he has to do it right.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is, I mean, it's great. It's great storytelling.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, it is also kind of funny because you do see, like, when they're, because of that scene where Vincent's just like, I'll just play the play.
Yeah.
And so there's no, and then they have their dinner scene, which I'll go back to. Mm-hmm. But when Paul Newman comes to, I guess, Toys R Us or whatever, they can get big clearance for. Yeah. And he's working and he's trying to sell
KB Toys.
Yeah. Lionel Kitty City. I don't know. I think that maybe.
I don't know.
Oh, that was way before you were even born. There's so many toy stores around. But
now there's Amazon.
Now there's just Amazon. Yeah, so the when he's selling the baby stuff to like the expecting parents and he's like, no, you want this one, and it's like because of that one scene you go like, well, he's telling them the truth.
Yeah.
Because this one may be expensive and then but he's also knocking
the price off.
Price too. Off. So yeah. You could take him. He's virtuous. He's kind of like a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's not because he doesn't understand the hustle yet. And you'll go, okay, well.
He's got the charisma of a salesman.
Right.
But he's not trying to hustle.
He's not. He doesn't have that killer instinct. Yeah, with the Alpha Bros. He doesn't have that grind mindset.
Right.
He just.
The grind set.
Just imagine that, like, if the fucking.
Don't
like,
let Alpha Bros watch Color of Money. Don't let them watch
this. This is how it goes, man. Dun, 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 dun. Just out here. Dun, dun, dun. That fucking like the sad violin.
Yeah. Oh god. Yeah. No. It's no.
As Tom Cruise is describing how a crowd sounds. Don't
watch this movie. Don't let them watch it. They're gonna take everything from it just wrong. They're all gonna become Vincent.
You mean it's not like
they're gonna think Vincent's the hero?
Yeah. It's like how they totally understand American Psycho.
Yeah, exactly like
it's
that.
It's like how they totally get it and understand exactly what
exactly how they see the satire in American Psycho. Yep. Yeah.
They totally see it.
Fuck.
They totally see it. Because they're so smart.
They totally get business cards.
By the way, I developed a new crypto coin. It's called the color of Bitcoin.
It's called the color of coin. Color of Bitcoin. God.
Has Tom Cruise snaggled tooth on it.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't mean to be mean, but like, at a point, because he kept on smiling so much,
yeah.
I was like, I fucking hate this
guy. He was a happy-go-lucky guy.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the thing with it, right? Where like, You realize at first that the kid got way too much energy and he's kind of cringe, but like he's not a bad kid.
Right.
But then you start to see his insecurity, you start to see his ego,
mm-hmm.
and you realize like, oh, man, like.
And that scene through how he interacts with Carmen.
Yeah.
Again, played by Mary Elizabeth Master Antonio, she was nominated for an Academy Award for this movie. Mm-hmm. Also, same with Paul Newman.
Yep.
Paul Newman won.
Paul Newman won.
But yeah, Carmen she's playing kind of like I don't want to say streetwise, but kind of like someone a little bit more living beyond her years a little bit. She has an idea and like she thinks she can tame like Vincent.
Yeah.
So she has this like kind of attitude where it's like it doesn't matter what Paul Newman says, like she has the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's proven she doesn't, and she kind of just like her attitude and aura kind of switch by the end, especially when the whole thing where he's like after the final their final meeting,
mm-hmm.
where it's like and there she's set and her and Eddie are setting up like the final match, she is like a kind of like a shell of herself, kind of like she's shrunken a little bit, right. But not like in her performance, but like you could see like she's kind of been.
Yeah, she's delivering money for him.
Right, she is before, now.
She was the one, like, kind of the brains of the operation.
Right, yeah, she has now become an employee instead of, like, a partner.
Right, she asked for $1,500 on the hustle, and he's yelling at her, he should ask for $2,000, you know? Whereas before, like, was the money even...
What happened to the love of the game, man?
Yeah, before, when it first started, Vince didn't even know he was hustling, you know? He was just trying to beat people and win.
Right.
You know? It went from, like, he's somebody, a lot of raw talent, I could use it to, like, look at the monster they created.
Yeah.
You know?
And, I think because we find out that, Vincent has become the villain, the quote-unquote villain of the movie.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
Not in a traditional sense of the movie. Yeah, it's just that
he becomes an antagonist,
I guess. He's the antagonist because he's everything that Paul Newman, Eddie, isn't anymore. He's not brash. He's not thinking with the seat of his pants. He's just... He and now compared to what Eddie is.
Yeah.
Also, just wonderful. Also, yeah. And speaking of the dinner scene, we're at the restaurant where he's like, you're watching the watch.
Right.
You're not watching the people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, that's it's a great lesson, because he's like, you're too focused on what's in front of you instead of your surroundings.
Like Carmen noticed, oh, he must have known that girl. He must have known that guy.
Right.
Like Vince was like, oh, I have to see if he's on time.
Mm-hmm.
Not even thinking that there might be something.
Right. There's a hustle.
Underhanded going on.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's teaching you about a hustle, so you don't think there's going to be a hustle
involved. Right, right. He's showing you, oh, I don't know. I guess he didn't realize he was being taught yet, you know?
Because
the way Eddie said he was like, my strength is people. I know people. I can talk to this person here. I can show this person here. Not realizing that he was the one being manipulated. Right. Not the girl leaving or not the guy getting up.
Right.
You know, it was Vince. Carmen realized it. Dick. So, like, there's levels. There's levels to this. There's Vince down at the bottom.
Yep.
You know, it's this pool is just balls and a stick,
mm-hmm.
right? There's Carmen, who's like, this is his mother's necklace.
Right.
You know, which
and
is
he says,
fucking savage.
Right.
Right? So she's got the killer instinct, but not really as much of the know-how. And you see that when, you know, again, like, when he says it, when she's sitting there in her underwear, right? Mm-hmm. She goes, if you're going to use that, use it for me, not against me.
Right.
Right? Because she's there looking like her, and she's arguing with him, distracting him at Chalky's.
Right.
Right? And she was like, no, I can be here. I've dated guys worse than this, and which is not something you want to tell your boyfriend.
No, yeah.
Especially if he's trying to be protective.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So she's using her sex appeal or her allure to him
mm-hmm.
to kind of stick it to him and kind of like use it where she should be doing it to entice him and to make him, to persuade him to do the things that we want him to do, right?
Because also with her saying, like, I've dated guys worse than this, is because we see how he acts when, like, the slightest thing goes wrong.
Yeah.
Because when he's talking to the coolest man in the world, what's it, Larson Seasonings or whatever the fuck his name?
Which one is this?
The biggest money player.
Gene something.
Yeah, Gene. His last name was Seasonings. So this man doesn't season.
Jenny Seasons or
something.
Jerry
whatever.
Seasons or. Yeah.
So, and then he starts like, and then Paul Newman's like, lose to him.
Yeah.
Like, because then he'll bet money, big money on you because he knows he could beat you.
Everyone will.
Yeah, everyone will. Like, the numbers will go in your favor.
You lose to him here when it doesn't matter.
Right.
So when it comes time and everyone's going to be betting, you'll kill.
And the guy gives him the weakest smack talk.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's like a nightmare, isn't it? It's like, go fuck yourself. But
I mean, if he did that to me, I'd be like, oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, jeez. Oh. And then you could give him the smack talk back at the tournament, which he did, which was still pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know? But he had to be, that was, then Carmen did the growth for her. She used her kind of allure to him in that way to help the hustle.
Right.
Where she goes like, look, if you keep winning, you're humping your fist for the...
right, yeah.
So that's her using the allure to help the hustle.
Yeah.
Before she was using it...
Well, yeah, because I think it was to kind of like gear him up to be like, okay, yeah, like I've dated guys worse than this. He's like, wait a minute. Like, because it's like, it's all... Because even when like they did the whole like two brothers and a stranger con, it's like, you know it's fake.
Right.
You know,
but he's insecure.
Goofing.
It's he's insecurity. So, yeah,
exactly, his insecurity. Yeah. She's playing his insecurity instead of playing... You know, like making him work like in a controlled fashion.
Yeah, using exactly. And then that's why the scene where he goes to the hotel room and you know kind of yells at her violently.
Gave me a little fright.
I was like, oh geez, Eddie, going in a different direction here.
Right.
No, but the whole thing was that, you know, when she was naked in the bathroom before and kind of let him look and stuff like that, he's like, you have, like, the way Eddie's got pool and he doesn't know what to do with it, you've got your allure and you don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
You have to use your talents to help the hustle, just like he's using his.
Right. And it also, because I think she was trying to pull a fast one on Eddie, but he's like, no, I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah.
I don't need this.
Right.
Like, I'm trying to help you. Like, I don't give a fuck about you.
Yes.
Because even at the end, he's like, here's $1,000. You don't need me anymore.
Right.
Because he always had, like, an out point.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wanted to make a little extra money.
Right.
And, like, the allure of making that little extra money kind of pushed him. And then, like, because she was trying to out-hustle The Hustler, and he's like, no, it doesn't work like this.
Right.
Because he's loyal to
his girl. You're not on my level.
Exactly. He's loyal to Janelle. Because no matter how bad it got. He was calling her because he's in love with her.
Yeah.
And he never, even like the lady he was picking up, that's his friend.
Right.
It's not
nothing
like.
Nothing intentional there.
He didn't hit on any other woman in the movie. When he would talk, he was only talking to people, but he was never really like. Leading conversations, right. He'd always let people like when he was, I guess, playing against Boomhauer from King of the Hill and Iggy Pop, and he would let them talk. He would, and even Forrest Whitaker, he'd let them talk because he figured them out that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what a good movie!
Yeah,
holy shit! Yeah, I shouldn't have drank energy drinks before this.
No, it's good that you did. You have
so wired up.
It's great. Yeah, even the thing is he's a hustler in a pure sense. Right. He's all about the hustle, meaning this beautiful young girl, could be kind of, she could throw herself at him if he wanted.
He's Paul fucking Newman.
Yeah.
Secure if your girlfriend and Paul Newman, let's say mid 80s Paul Newman,
did the brother and the stranger?
And he's just like walking in, he's like, you'd be like,
oh, that's not my girl anymore. Like, oh, yeah. She's for
it's
the
fun while it lasts.
Wow, yeah, she's for the streets. Yeah, Paul
Newman now. Like,
it was fun while it lasted.
Give me a cool vinaigrette.
Yeah.
See you later.
I agree. But it's he knows enough about the hustle to know, like, okay, you using your body, that's just another hustle.
Right.
You're not gonna catch you.
And he is not hating on it.
Right, exactly. He's like, you got it, but we're in this together.
Right.
Right? You have to and You're not gonna get to my level unless you work with me.
Right.
You're not gonna just jump. You're not gonna jump the line here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But they funnel all the awfulness that they have into Vince, and you can't be surprised if Vince becomes the guy that he is.
But I also think the scene where Newman's like, he got hustled, it's like, and he's like, here's $1,000.
That's an important scene. Yeah.
I think it affected her more than it affected Vincent. Mm. Like, Vincent was like, it's like, all right. It's like, I like this guidance. I like someone talking to me. I think he likes the attention because he never felt like this is like a father figure to me. This is like a guy, like someone I'm seeking guidance on. This is someone who is trying to correct my bad behavior. It's like, it's almost like a teacher, but like a principal doesn't know you all the time.
Right.
But if you do something bad, the principal's going to come at you.
Sure.
But when he was more of a father figure to Carmen, to be like, exactly like what you were saying, like to show her how to complete to be who she wants to be, even though it's a hustler.
But like, at least it's who she wants to be.
She wants to be a hustler. It's like not he's like
grooming Vince to be something. Vince doesn't even get it.
He doesn't even care.
Yeah.
Like all he wants to do is be the best.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, well, I could learn and make a couple of dollars, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that scene when he gave up on them, she took it the hardest because she had the biggest. Like, because if Vincent went up, she shot so down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they call her Mary Elizabeth Masterman.
Is that why they call her that?
Maybe.
Well, that's an interesting idea. The idea, because at that point, Vince, his skills can take him
as far as
they want to go, but Eddie was kind of reining him in, right? Carmen, could do it a little,
right?
But he was guiding Eddie.
Yeah.
So when he lost, when he dipped, right, and there's nobody to guide Eddie anymore, and they have to fend for themselves. Well, now she can't control him anymore. And that might be why she becomes sort of, less of herself, less of a stronger person by the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, becomes because at the in the first half of the movie, honestly, for most of the movie, I really liked her character. I thought this is a strong character that's got her own intentions,
right.
That's got her own skills, her own talents, and it kind of sucks that she's using him, but...
Yeah, you feel bad for Vincent.
I feel bad for Vincent, but at the end of the day, like, I really like her.
Right.
And that's why, I didn't feel bad for Ed when Vincent comes up and he's like, we dumped on you.
Right.
Because, what did you train him to do?
You did exactly that. Exactly that, yeah.
It's not his fault that you suddenly have a new love for the game.
You were bit by the dog you own.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and...
Or was it that?
But it was kind of a shame. The only thing that sucked is that it's a shame because you could see there, okay, Vincent gave up on his dream.
Right.
Vincent is
Yeah, he doesn't. Was it that, or was it Tom Cruise wearing pleated pants and a sweater vest?
That was tough to stomach, yeah. That's when I see that, I'm like, okay, no, he is the villain.
You're right. Yeah. Just a gray outfit. Oh,
boy, the monochrome.
The monochrome. Outfit. Yep.
Yep.
Because, like, when Paul Newman wears it, it's cool.
Oh, yeah.
When Tom Cruise wears it, it's like, oh, no. Like.
But that's kind of the thing. Like, yeah. Him putting that on, it's just like, oh, man, he's...
He's trying to be Eddie.
He's the new Eddie.
Yep.
Whereas before, he's wearing the Vince shirt. Because he had to remember his own fucking name he put on his shirt.
Well, no, that's the store. The store had the names of the guys on it. But he was wearing fucking cowboy boots. Which had to have a 20-foot arch in it.
Well, it's Tom Cruise,
right? Because when he was standing next to, they're like talking in like Paul Newman's, and also that hair is so fucking hot.
Yeah, added a lot
of inches, but he still can't dunk. But
so he had the Vince from Recess hair.
Oh, just he had Gerald's hair from Hey Arnold.
That's my.
I didn't see
same him. Character. It's the same token black kid in both cartoons. Yeah.
Okay.
Like if I'll Google Vince from Recess.
Okay. But yeah, like he's talking to him, and he's like he's a little bit taller, and you could tell that there's like, he's maybe a little bit closer to the camera, like the forced perspective. Oh yeah, that is
it's the same guy.
Standard.
It's the same standard token.
Black standard guy. 90s. Yeah. Cartoon black character, yeah.
90s token black character, yeah.
Basketball jersey or football jersey.
Sports jersey, because, you know.
Gotta.
It's what they figure they'd give him. But anyway, yes, go on.
So, perspective. He was doing a little sports perspective, because it looked like Vincent was taller than Eddie, which, no.
Was never the case.
Never the case. Yeah. I think Paul Newman's was 6'2" or something, because he's a goddamn man.
Oh, so you want to talk about subtle storytelling, sure. Right?
I love talking about subtle storytelling.
When they're shooting this pool, and they're shooting it, you're thinking like, oh, those are cool cinematography tricks. This is visually interesting. You know, showing Ed's reflection on the ball.
Oh, that fucking
that was a killer shot.
I was like, it's got to be green screen. Because at that time, I don't think CGI was that good.
No ball is that shiny.
Yeah. I was like, look at that.
Yeah. That was good shit, right? But the whole movie they're showing a lot of the pool, right? And it's cool to watch. It's interesting. You see things when Vince plays, but you realize I don't know pool. This just looks like he's doing well,
right?
Right. And then at the end, he misses that shot, and before I had any idea that it was a hustle, I'm thinking wait, Vince misses shots? They always show him so good. I didn't even realize. I guess they didn't show that he missed shots before. And then only for him to reveal, oh, yeah, that five in the corner was oh, my God, that's the same shot where I thought that.
Right.
The fucking subtlety. I mean, maybe I'm also just a fucking idiot, but, the subtlety that specific shot that they showed, they didn't tell me anything. They didn't have to say a fucking word.
Yeah.
Just showing me that it was enough, given for what they've showed me throughout the movie, for me to come to the conclusion that that wasn't right.
Right, because also the way, Vince was behaving, because it was it kind of seemed like he was taking it so personally.
Yeah.
He was quiet, he wasn't really talking.
Yeah.
And then, he's, when he was breaking it down, it's just, the microfiber hair that I have to miss to get that shot. I was like, he is so insane that he knows exactly what tiny spot of the ball to hit.
It's when it's more impressive to miss than it is to sink it.
This is such a weird, deep, cut, and it's so stupid, and I don't know why I always remember it. But there was a King of the Hill episode where he was where Hank had to... I guess the whole point was to him to fail a home inspection for some sort of I think zoning purpose or something. I don't know what the point was, but the housing inspector walked around the house. He's like, okay, you failed, but a really good craftsman knows exactly where to fail. And I was like, and then when I saw that, I was like, that's exact. He is so good at his craft.
Yeah.
He knows exactly where to fail.
It's like when, I forget, it was a recent movie, an animated movie where I think it was, might have been Into the Spider-Verse, where a kid gets a zero.
Oh yeah, it was Miles Morales, yeah.
Yeah, if you guessed on every question, you would have at least gotten 50.
If you know every question,
yeah. You have to know the wrong answer to every single one.
Right.
It was kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could have used that one too.
I like the King of the Hill one too. Yeah. It's honestly more relevant than the King of the Hill one because you have to actually try.
You have to try so
harder to fail it than you would have to just pass it.
But yeah, think of that person in real life who's like so dialed in that they know exactly the moment to like, but not just fail closely.
That to fool these pro players and judges all around
that are watching your every move.
Right.
And
that to dump on a stage that big, you know, people are looking for that.
And then also to not just to fool everyone else, but to fool the guy
who taught you.
Which is like,
damn!
Fucking Eddie's confidence was so fucking high.
Yeah.
He was like, he walked outside. That, he gave the old like,
yo.
He gave the pump. Like,
no.
Because even then I was like,
that's the bender.
I was like, hell yeah. Like, way to go, Eddie. Like, because it's a big demon off his back of all the hard work he's done. And then that just zapped him.
But you know, I wasn't happy for Eddie when he won.
No?
No, because I'm like, why are you doing this to this kid? You did this to the kid. Yeah. You brought him here just to beat him?
I think that's it was a little muddled, but...
Yeah, like, I know, I see it both ways.
Right.
I think the triumph for Eddie is legitimate,
mm-hmm.
right? But for I see the turnaround with the dump is like, okay, you got your character back, you got your life back on track, but there has to be comeuppance for what you've done.
Yeah.
And I think,
well, I think the comeuppance
was getting dumped on.
Was getting dumped on, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, him winning,
mm-hmm.
I didn't feel that good for him, right? Because I'm like... look what you did to this kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? You brought him here, you hustled him, and you got his hopes up that he'd come and he'd clean in this tournament, and then you decide at the last second, oh, I'm going to get my life right, and then come back and beat this kid?
Right.
Like, this isn't right.
Yeah, because he called, like, at any moment I could come back and be the best. At any moment I could come back and be the best. And when he got fucking hustled by the dude, Forrest Whitaker, he's like, oh, no, I am not the best.
Right.
And then... When he got beat by that old lady, I laughed so hard. I was like,
he doubled his money. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like this guy, like, I was like, yeah, like the ending is a little like it did feel like you burned yourself. You did this to yourself.
Yeah, and I liked it. I liked that.
Yeah, like that's a good come up. But also, I also liked at the end when they're in the back room and he's like, I want your best now because I'm gonna. Get at you at this place. I'm going to get at you at that place. And we're not going to play for money. We're just going to go at each other. I was like, yeah. Yeah.
Because now he's got the love of the game again.
He's got the love of the game and the love of his lady.
Yeah. Yeah. Her saying, I think the line like, oh, I like a man with character. I think that's a reference to like The Hustler.
Right.
In somewhere or another. Oh, no. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Oh, he's like, but he said, you're a natural character. He's like, oh, you hear that? I have a lot of characters. Like, no, that's not what I said.
Yeah.
That's not what I said.
And she goes, oh, I like a guy with character. That's nice too.
That's like the Harrison Ford quote on the new Captain America movie where he's like, and what, do you hear that?
No.
Anthony Mackie's like, oh yeah, Harrison Ford said, he was talking about it. And he's like, Harrison Ford's like, all right, let's shoot this shit. And he's like, yeah, let's get this shit going. He's like, that's not what he said.
Oh, God.
It's like, he's not the person to quote on things like this.
Oh, God.
Harrison Ford does not give a fuck.
No, he means let's shoot this piece of shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. Oh, God. Well, yeah, it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, I'm okay with Vincent dumping on him and getting him getting his comeuppance there because at the end when he forfeit, that was the real victory.
Yeah.
You know? That was the that's what got him the love of his lady.
Yeah.
You know?
That's character. That's character. Yeah.
But again, it's like you spent the whole movie destroying this kid's character and turning him into a menace, right? But now you get to walk away with like, well, at least like I got my character.
Right.
It's like
yeah.
You know, it's fucked up.
That's
fucked up.
That's 80 Scorsese, though.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm happy that Vince beat him.
Yeah.
And I hope Vince continues to beat him. You know? yeah.
He's standing over his grave still.
Yeah, honestly. Like, you made this monster, this guy, not even a monster. The kid, you know, he's doing what you taught him to do, and you're going to beat him for that?
Yeah. I don't even think he wanted to beat, I think he just wanted his best.
I know he wants his best.
Yeah.
But
because I think it's the whole thing of like trying, like maybe also it's his final teacher thing where it's like you could take all the money in the world, but you still got to like have integrity to like enjoy it.
But he's the one that took his integrity away.
He did. He's a complicated man.
He's the reason he doesn't have integrity anymore. You know, so Maybe he's like, I'll keep fighting you, I'll keep beating you. Maybe to, maybe as a way to try to get the kid's integrity back.
Right.
You know, because one day he will beat Vincent, and then maybe that'll.
But also one day Vincent will be him. And, yeah. like, he won't, like, he's got a, I don't know. Let's go to Marty Scorsese with the, Marty, what do you think?
Marty, what was the thought process here?
If you go on TikTok, I'm doing well on TikTok.
I'm not sure. No, I'm happy that Ed got his groove back, yeah. You know? And he's, it's not like he's bad. He beat Moselle and he beat, like, a bunch of other people.
He beat Julian.
It's not that he's bad. He's good. But to think
I think if he legit beat
Vince, I would have been pissed.
The Moselle one where it's like where Bill Cobbs brings in Moselle, he's like, yeah, he plays pool. He's like, oh, do you now?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's like, hell yeah.
Yep.
Because I saw on IMDb one of the things was like apparently a note. One of the few notes Scorsese gave Paul Newman was just try not to be funny
because
you're just gonna be funny.
And Newman says it's one of like the greatest acting advice he's ever gotten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what like this like, all right, we're about 45 minutes in and I mean it's really, I think we both fucking really like this movie.
Yeah.
But I want to like talk about like what a great thing of adding like
Werewolves in London.
Like Paul Newman. Oh. Like I mean, yeah, the story, yeah, sure, morals and whatever, integrity, who can you,
yeah. Oh, yeah. What but are I mean, you adding?
Like, adding, like, an actor of the caliber of Paul Newman,
right?
An up-and-coming director, like a Martin Scorsese at the time,
mm-hmm.
like, all these pieces and, like, how well they kind of work together, but, like, how, like, it just kind of, it just amazes me on like how well this movie came out with like mm-hmm. something like that. Like you hear like now it's tough. I don't like doing like the whole like
back in my day. They don't make them like that anymore.
But it's like it's tough to like see. Like all right, let's put this movie in nowadays and let's mm-hmm. take some actor. Like, let's put I don't know. Let's say Tom Holland, and who would be a Paul Newman character?
Oh. Ooh, good question. Tom Cruise. No.
I think Tom Cruise would do that.
Honestly.
It would be the shortest game of all time.
He tried it with Miles Teller, but... Right? no, okay. I mean, honestly, Tom Cruise is around the age, but only Tom Cruise is still going so strong, right. though.
I would... let's say someone who's a little bit more like... I don't like...
Maybe like a DiCaprio? Or DiCaprio's still going strong.
I think... But also, I think...
Maybe a Brad?
I would see a Brad Pitt. Maybe but I think that'd be too cool. Like you'd be like, hey,
Brad's still really. But so was Newman. Newman was still really cool.
Newman was really cool.
And I think that maybe that makes it because Brad is not like Brad Pitt's not putting out like, you know, movie of the year awards. He's not putting out like number one blockbusters, but he's still putting out good stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because I mean, like, it's tough to like, I mean, yeah, because also, but Brad Pitt's like a, yeah, he's very good.
He's been doing it for decades.
But like also like, because I'm kind of skewed towards like, I would love to see it.
Robert Downey Jr.
I think it would be. I don't think it would be any good.
No, I'm saying because that's exactly what Iron Man is.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But like, it would be tough. I think it would be tough for like, some actors now to like be going. All right, your whole thing is you're going to lose big.
Mm.
You're gonna lose. Like you're gonna have a crisis of conscience. At this moment. And I think that could be a little tougher. And also, like, if you look at... This might be a bad question. It may be a bad question. I just think that, like... It took a lot of fucking balls
mm-hmm.
for Paul Newman, who is, like, an icon, to be like, all right, you're gonna get fucking mopped up by this dude.
By Forrest Whitaker or by...
By Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. Like, he's gonna make you... Like, yeah, Forrest Whitaker's gonna fucking break your confidence, but... Tom Cruise is going to break your heart.
Mm.
And you're going to there's going to be a scene where you don't triumph in a championship thing.
Mm-hmm.
Your win is like subtextual and I don't even know what the word is, but it's like it's personal.
Yeah, it's like a moral victory.
It's a moral victory. Yeah. You can't have the trophy and the clear conscience.
Mm-hmm.
It's one or the other.
Yeah, right. And he has to make that choice because of the things he did during the movie. Right.
I just don't
consequences. For
I just
his
don't.
Actions.
I don't know if there's like an actor now who could portray that.
Hmm. Okay.
Because like
I see
like,
what you're saying. Now.
I see like if like a Mark Ruffalo, he's more of a character actor.
Yeah.
Tom Holland, he's good. but like
he's good maybe for Vince,
right? Yeah, but he's like, yeah, he's that ball of energy.
Yeah. He could be punchable if you want. He could honestly be. Miles Teller is easy.
Miles Teller, punchable guy.
Yeah, very punchable guy. And well, I think that's what makes that's what made him a great Rooster. You know? That's what made Rooster the passing of the torch. Is right. Like, okay, now you're gonna be the punchable guy that I hope has a good career at some point.
Yeah.
And I don't hope he has a good career. I hope Miles Teller doesn't have a good
career. Glenn Powell? The other guy, Hangman?
Yeah.
Abs McGee, apparently.
Is he
he's old enough? I think he's like, you think he's almost like my, he might be older than me.
Yeah, but Paul Newman was way older than you in this.
He was, yeah, Paul Newman wasn't 30. Paul Newman was born in 1925.
Yeah.
He was like, was it? This was the 80s. He was like 60.
Yeah. We need someone in that age bracket, don't we?
Right. But I mean, they'd go, maybe not necessarily. You'd skew younger because like, Hollywood doesn't like old people
anymore. Too much. Yeah. Okay, all right.
Because it'd be like Willem Dafoe then. Who the foe is?
Yeah.
Hey, you want to play some pool with me, buddy?
Yeah, you need somebody with the edge to do something horrible, but right. Then the charisma to still be likable for it.
Like, I think like if Andrew Garfield was okay with gaining a little bit of weight and maybe cooling that hair off,
get the Colin Farrell treatment for a penguin.
No, but I mean, like...
Maybe Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell, yeah.
Maybe Colin good. Farrell.
I think Colin Farrell would be good, yeah. Make it really Irish, get him and Barry Keoghan.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh, we're just smashing potatoes. Yeah.
It's just balls
and just stones and potatoes. That's all we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think, let's see. I think people in that caliber might be the move. That's the problem with The Rock. You know, these are the type of roles that you can't give to The Rock.
Do you think if you go up to The Rock and be like, all right, we're going to do Color of Money, okay? What role do you want? He's like, I'm going to be Carmen. We're going to do it with ladies.
Carmen's the only one that never loses in the
movie. She's always on top.
Well, I mean, he did just take a chokeslam from The Undertaker.
Yeah. No, it's the best acting he's done in years.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen Black Adam. We've seen Skyscraper.
He's really good at playing The Rock.
He is very good at playing The Rock.
Let's see. So maybe not The Rock.
I don't see Ryan Reynolds doing it. I don't see
Ryan Reynolds having like the depth, honestly.
Yeah.
It'd be like for us to feel like he deserves kind of, I don't know, to get dirty like that.
Right.
You know? What about the Godfather?
I could see the Godfather. Like, oh. Godfather with those glasses on.
Ooh.
There you go.
That would look good.
That would look good.
Yeah.
I'm a big Goss guy.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, because I could definitely see the Goss. I could definitely see the Goss, like, you know, playing a kid, you know, tricking a kid. And then I could also root for the Goss at any given time.
Right.
You know? I could see him being somebody who thinks he's washed up and somebody who thinks he's still got it in him.
Yeah. Oh, that was Ken, you know?
Yeah. And how old is he now?
He's like 42.
Hey, yeah. That's as old as it gets in Hollywood.
I mean...
Nowadays. Actually, Robert Downey Jr. is like 55.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark Ruffalo is like 54.
54, yeah. No, yeah. I think... Gosling was born in 1980, so he's 44.
Yeah.
And... Rob. Big old Rob. He was born in... 1845. No, 1965.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I think he's, it's, what, I think
59.
Somewhere. Yeah, he's closer to 60. He would be great, but I think he's too like. You would have to get like a director like Christopher Nolan to be like, "Hey, stop that Iron Man bullshit."
But he's too fast.
If you're too fast. Yeah, slow it down a little. You would need another teacher. Right.
Well, yeah. Well, Nolan did great with.
With him
and Oppenheimer, yeah.
I think that's the thing. Like, I think you need more of a steady hand to control those two.
Yeah.
That's why I think Cruz would be great too. Whatever. All right.
You think Cruz as Newman?
I think Gosling as Newman would be great.
Yeah.
I think that'd be pretty good. Okay. About 55 minutes in.
Yeah.
That was a weird question, kind of derailed us a little bit.
No, but I know, but I appreciate it. I appreciate the effort.
We're back. We're back, baby.
A pretty focused episode other than that, honestly. Yeah, right? Although even that was about the movie.
Yeah. All right. What do you want to give it as a grade?
I feel like I'm just high on it because I, you know what
you
I mean.
You just watched
the
it.
The recency
too.
Bias.
Yeah.
You know, because I want to. It's low. It's supposedly low Marty, but it didn't feel like low Marty. You know.
I think in the unfortunate in the pantheon of Martin Scorsese.
Right. Well, because it's not Goodfellas, and it's not like.
It's not like. It's not in the Criterion. I don't know if it. I don't think it is in the Criterion Collection. It's not like. It's not looked at as, because also I don't think it's looked at as one of his, because it's not a thing he created. Like, yeah. It's not like Raging Bull was brought on by his, Mean Street was brought on by his.
Didn't he do the screenplay, though?
No, someone else did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, in any case, I feel like it's better than a 7. I feel like it's an 8.
I'm kind of on a 7, I'm a high 7.5, 8.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I'm really high on this. I really liked it.
Yeah. It's a great character study.
Yeah.
Shot really, really cool.
The book was written by Walter Tevis.
Wrote The Queen's Gambit.
Queen's Gambit.
Another book
hustle
about not really a hustle, but about someone who's really, really good at a sport that's not a sport and has a lot of personal issues to overcome.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the screenplay was by Richard Price.
Mm.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's good Scorsese.
It's still
good. In the Scorsese movies we have done. So we've done Gangs of New York.
Raging Bull.
Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Shit.
Did we do Silence?
And we didn't do Silence.
Okay.
We did, I'm trying to remember, Marty Month.
Oh, yeah, we did a whole month.
I think we, shit, I got this. Maybe we should prepare before.
We didn't do Casino.
No, we didn't do Casino. Though I did watch it relatively recently.
Yeah.
That movie is pretty good.
Pretty good, Marty.
Pretty good, Marty. Okay, so we did Taxi Driver.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we haven't done as much Marty as I thought.
No.
That's only like 5 movies.
I mean, it's like we haven't been around for that long. I mean, we're close to 400 episodes, but like
we never did Wolf of Wall Street. Oh, we did The Departed.
We did The Departed.
Yeah. We never did Shutter Island.
No.
But we could.
We could.
Did we do Shark Tale? No.
All right, so we did Taxi Driver. Let's see, we did Taxi Driver, Raging Bull,
yeah.
Color of Money,
mm-hmm.
Goodfellas, Super Mario Brothers. What? No. the Departed and Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
Okay. Out of all those, where do you think you would throw this bad boy? All
right. Well, it's not better than Goodfellas.
Okay.
I kind of think it's better than Taxi Driver.
Okay.
All right. Is it better than The Departed? I don't think it's.
I think The Departed is funnier.
Yeah.
But I did laugh in this movie too.
Sure.
But I don't know if it's a better movie.
The twists and turns that The Departed takes,
right,
are so good. Is it better than Raging Bull? I don't think it's better than Raging Bull. I liked it more though.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching it more.
I think Raging Bull is a
heavy movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if I was...
I think it's better than Silence. I think it's better than Shutter Island. Mm-hmm. I think it's better than... I don't know. Wolf of Wall Street has been tainted by Dude Bros. By Alpha Bros.
Because they get it. They totally get it. They totally understand what the problem is.
Right,
what happened.
Course.
You know, it's cool.
Is it better than Gangs of New York?
See, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
Because everyone hates Gangs of New York.
I like it, though.
I love Gangs of New
York. I like it.
Yeah. I don't know. It could be because it's about Irish people.
Okay.
Or the fact that it's fucking awesome and they built an incredible set to it and a lot of great performances.
Yep. Daniel Day-Lewis, DDL.
DDL, fucking Bill Abraham. The Butcher.
Yeah. Ugh. Even Cameron Diaz came out good.
Cameron Diaz, they were like, everyone kills Cameron Diaz for, like, look, it. The Irish accent.
What did she do wrong? Her accent?
Her accent's a little tough.
Okay, I can see that.
But, like, also, you know what? If you don't speak with an Irish accent to start with,
mm-hmm.
It is the toughest one to keep going.
But Leo and Daniel do it.
No, Leo doesn't have an accent.
Oh, he's not Irish in that one.
No, he is Irish.
But he doesn't have an accent?
He doesn't have, because he was raised in New York.
Yeah, he was.
Bill the Butcher has an old American accent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, it's you know.
Oh, so she's the only one that actually needs.
She's an immigrant from Ireland.
Mm.
Liam Neeson's in it.
Yeah.
John C. Reilly's in it.
Oh, yeah.
Hell
yeah.
It's
a good movie.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
Justice for Gangs of New York. Also, maybe because it's New York. We're like...
It's a New York movie.
It's a New York movie.
It's a New York movie. They never stood a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gangs of New York. yeah, it's a great, like, revenge film. It's good.
We'll do a top 10 Marty.
But is content. I will say, but is yeah. but is it better than?
As of right now, I think the way I would do it would be Goodfellas 1.
Sure.
Raging Bull 2.
Okay.
I would think Departed 3, Color of Money 4, Gangs of New York 5, mm-hmm. Shutter Island 6.
Above Wolf of Wall Street?
Above Wolf. I did not like it. You didn't like Wolf of Wall Street? Because I like... It takes me a while to like Wolf of... Like, it will take me a while. Like, I gotta watch it again.
Once the, like... Alpha Bro hype dies down?
Not that. It's like also like... Yeah, he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
And if I'm gonna follow a bad guy, I need to like...
Mm.
When I first ingested it, it's like, oh, I fucking hate this guy.
Yeah, he's a bad person.
He's a bad person. And now when I watch it, I could see him as a character.
Mm. Okay.
Because I'm pretentious. That Instagram thing you sent me today.
Yep. Oh, God.
I was like, so yeah.
If that becomes our podcast, would we have to end it?
That's like every one of like the letterbox, like, oh, what's your four favorite movies? It's like, it's always like the one, like, all right, he's a 25-year-old white actor. Oh, yeah. He's going to say some wild shit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You ever see a... Skibbity dibbies. It's 1945, you know. It's
LaFrance Cordeaux.
It was the last bicycle. Movie made before the Blitzkrieg. You know, it's so deep and powerful. It's like, what? Ugh. It's like, just say Spider-Man 2 and move on.
And move on. Ugh. You have to... The people that say all those, like, French surrealist movies instead of Terminator 2 just are trying not to have fun.
It's like, look... If you like Legally Blonde. That's fine. It's a good movie. It's a good
movie.
If you, like, I get it. My top four fluctuates all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, today it would be, I don't know. I've named too many movies today.
Yeah.
But Color of Money may be up there today. Yeah.
Might not be tomorrow, might not but today. Be tomorrow,
but today. Like, but yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, just don't lie to yourself. Because, right. I think the one that's, pretty good. If you want to be that, do the Criterion Closet, which is mm-hmm. always fun because there's really good interviews because, like, you'll see, like, an actor like Michael Shannon or Willem Dafoe just kind of, like, oh, they pick a movie. Like, when I watch this the first time and they break it down and instead of, like, okay. Like, yeah, I like those ones. Like, that, like, the Criterion Closet or the Amoeba one
mm-hmm.
where it's just, like, they bring bands into the Amoeba record store. Oh, yeah. I'm going to pick a record and, right. like, I'm going to show. They did one with the Keanu Reeves band.
Really?
Dog Star.
Yeah.
I listened to Dog Star. It's not for me. Not that great.
It's not for me.
But, like, them pick, like, Keanu Reeves is like, oh, yeah, I just bought this, like, five record box set of, like, Beethoven. It's going to be pretty cool. I'm like, yeah, I get that. Because he likes that. It's like, I really wanted it. Like, I saw it at another record store, but now I'm getting it for free?
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty wild.
You're Keanu Reeves. Why do you care if something's free or not?
Because he's a man of the people.
That's true. That's it. That's the answer.
But I think...
You think that might be the shoot?
Bang, bang.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
We made it.
We did it.
Yeah, Color Money. It's an hour.
Yeah.
It was an hour-long podcast that we made Color of Money.
Like I said, I don't think I should drink energy drinks before.
Nah, dude. It was great. It was awesome. Your energy kept me up, too.
Target energy drinks, man. They may be like crack.
Target has their own energy drink.
They do, yeah.
Yikes.
Good and Gather, baby.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Well, if you wanna get Good and Gather with us, you can do so on Twitter at MovieManPod.
On Instagram at MovieManPodcast.
MovieManPodcast@gmail.com.
And MovieManPodcast on Letterboxd.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I won't tell you all the movies I've done in the pet. Like we took about a month off.
It's a scary list, dude.
Matt moved.
Yeah,
I got it. He got his own apartment. Spot.
Yep.
Big step. And we did see Monkey Man.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
But I did see like a basic shit ton of movies. I will tell you the four. So the best one's Abyss.
Mm-hmm.
88.
What kind of movie is Abyss?
Abyss is a James Cameron movie where they're trapped
when they go underwater.
Trapped underwater. Amazing movie.
Wow.
What was it? High Fidelity. I saw.
Is Abyss a horror?
It could be if you
if you're afraid of
if being... you read the backstage notes.
Ooh.
It's a lot of shit.
Oh boy.
Yeah, just a lot of goofy stuff. Willow, which is a fantasy movie.
Okay.
The Mummy, because it's awesome.
Because it's the best. Yeah.
Gladiator.
Oh, the best.
Miller's Crossing, which is a Coen Brothers movie about 1930s new gangsters.
Railroad? Oh, okay.
And yeah, and the Godzilla 98.
You saw Wonka too, right?
I did see Wonka and fucking loved it.
See?
We'll do that after cruise time.
Yeah, because Wonka's on HBO now, right?
It's on HBO. It's on
Max.
We'll do Wonka and the Paddington movies.
Oh, I gotta do the Paddington movies. I gotta watch those.
Those are amazing. I have them on Blu-ray.
Really?
I have to put them on digital, but like...
I hear they're amazing.
They are phenomenal.
Oh, man.
You know how phenomenal they are?
Tell me.